Welcome to the Prime Fitness Project. My name is Eric Giroux, co-founder of Prime Fitness in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Get ready to have a lot of fun as we talk exercise, nutrition, and weight loss. We're going to talk to real clients, trainers, and other wellness colleagues to help you lead your Prime Fitness life. Hey, welcome to the Prime Fitness Project. This is Eric Giroux. Long time no see from everybody out there. I want to thank you guys for checking back in and coming into the podcast today. It's been a long time. It's been a very long time since I've put anything together on the podcast. I'm just going to blame the pandemic because I can blame everything else on that. So I'm just going to blame the pandemic on not doing a podcast in 2 years, which really makes no sense if you think about it, because literally I was at home and I could have been podcasting this whole time. Alas, we move forward. But I wanted to kind of kick off the podcast this time around with a really cool series of, I don't really want to call them client testimonials, but I really want to hear from some folks who have taken on to a new program that I launched last year, which was really based around accountability and based around making sure that people created new habits and change. So it wasn't just about working out, but it kind of created a well-rounded approach to getting people, fitter, leaner, with a big focus being around weight loss. Because I'll be honest, you know, while I was watching the things happen during COVID, I watched a lot of the reasons people were struggling with COVID was things we had a lot of control of: type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and obesity were three of the top comorbidities during the height of the COVID pandemic. And I thought to myself, man, we really have a lot we can do about this. And so I kind of brought myself back to my roots and wanted to get back into the world of weight loss a little bit again, and I really kind of help people create behavior and habit change. So the first person I wanted to bring on, because, well, it'd be an easy conversation for me, right? This is my longest term friend that I've ever had since first grade. It's my buddy, Chris Genovese. And last year, he hopped on board and he dove into the program and had pretty badass results over the course about 6 months or so, and has done some pretty amazing things and has also maintained, where he's been, and has also, had a great time doing it, I think, and has had a lot of aha moments. So we will by far probably be the most distracted conversation that you'll hear me have on the podcast.
I'm just waiting to talk because I know as soon as I start talking, it's going to go all downhill.
So just be prepared for what could potentially be the all-out Prime Fitness shit show in a couple of minutes here. But it's all right. We're going to have a good time, and you'll hear a lot of cool stuff coming from Chris. So without further ado, I want to introduce Chris. Chris, how are you, my man?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Doing really well, actually. A lot of it has to give thanks to you for that, actually.
Oh, no, let's not do that. Let's just, talk about you. You're all what we're here for. So, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're one of the first people I get to talk to about this, because, it's always going to be a pretty easy conversation because we've known each other for so long. Tell me a little bit, about why you wanted to get started with this last year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a multiple reasons, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like the pandemic kind of created this process, and it was a number of things in my life. I mean, as you know, because we've known each other since, God, 40 years now plus, I've always struggled with being heavier and, being somewhat athletic, but just horrible eating habits, typical Gen X latchkey kid where we kind of just took care of ourselves, fed ourselves, never had any semblance of a real diet, never tracked anything in my life. And specifically, I guess it was, right as this started, I want to say it was December of last year-ish, like towards the end of 2021, I had an umbilical hernia, which I didn't even know what it was.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And I remember for some reason you're like the Mr. Miyagi. You're always one of the first people I call. I always call the doctor, and then I call Eric and say, hey man, do you know what this thing is? And you're like, oh yeah, I've had three or four people that have had hernias actually, and you can still work out doing it. And, tried to blend that into the process, but overall I would say a number of things, that, and, being heavier, having trouble to sleep at night. That was always an ongoing theme, like in my 30s and early 40s. And just the pandemic giving me a new outlook on time management for myself. And that's when all of this kind of went off like a light bulb, like, oh my God, one of your best friends on the planet is doing this and he's doing it from home. Exactly what I want to do, you know, but that's kind of what got it started, was a number of things. And luckily, right place, right time. You're like, hey man, check this out.
That's awesome. Was that something that was really appealing to you, was to be able to do it from home?
Oh my God. Yeah. I belong to a bunch of different gyms, and I'm not downplaying the gym or saying it's awful. I mean, a lot of people need that energy level, need to be around other people. It keeps them consistent, things like that. I am not that person. I think that being able to work from home, and specifically to work out from home, has given me much more flexibility and really more success. It's not maybe for everyone, but I bet you there's a ton of people out there that would benefit from it the way that I did from this program.
Now, when we started, now, had you ever done any kind of like virtual coaching before, any kind of like virtual training before?
Not really. I mean, other than like mandatory training for work stuff that doesn't involve any physical thing, you know, like I was obviously familiar with Zoom and stuff like that, but no, nothing where I really tracked it. You know, some of the, God, what was that thing in the 90s? There was some kind of kit you could buy where it was like, take this pill at 8, take this pill at noon, write down what you eat.
What was that, dude? I don't remember.
Cyber something. I forgot what it was. Cyber trim or something like that.
Cyber trim, yes.
I would do that a couple of times. And of course, whatever I was taking was probably bad for me. And I didn't keep track of any of the food I was eating. It was always like, I'm going to go crazy and do every single thing and then burn out in a week and feel like I'm starving all the time and be irritable. Or I'd be like, I'm just going to eat what I want all the time, not have any repercussions or anything. And I needed to, this is the first thing that's really worked.
Okay. So it sounds like there was a lot of like in and out, like, I hate the term crash dieting. That's kind of what it sounds
that's
like.
That's what it was. I mean, yeah, really, like, you know, different types. Yeah.
Yeah. Just trying, looking for the bullet, right, all the time. And I'm assuming that you discovered that the bullet wasn't really there, that you needed to kind of like change some habits, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it, I know it's a cliche, but it really is like the sprint versus the marathon thing. Like,
right.
And I remember halfway through this process, I remember texting you or something. And I was like, oh my God, I just had 2 days where I ate a bunch of crap and I've gained 3 pounds. And you were like, yeah, that happens. Give it 4 days and you'll be back to your regular weight. And I'm like, you know, I've never had that perspective of like, as soon as I would gain a couple pounds, I'd go, well, that's it. Doors open, boys. Bring in all the food.
You know, bring in all the food.
There was no.
Back at the dump truck. Know, let's go.
Back on track. What the hell is that? No, in 6 months when I'm mad at myself and I hate myself, I'll get back into a crash diet. You know, there was nothing in between. And that's where that specifically that app that you recommended and just through the coaching, that really helped a lot.
So you mentioned that you'd never done any kind of food tracking before. What was eye-opening for you when it came to food tracking?
If anyone, like, don't even listen to anything else. It's the one thing that really worked for me and the one thing that anyone would take away from this, it was when you told me, hey man, get the 120 grams or whatever it was of protein before anything else, or make sure you hit that and everything else will fall into place. And if you don't do it, you're going to fill those calories with carbs and whatever. And it's, that has been, if there was a light switch moment, that was it. Because I noticed that when I would like track it, eat eggs, eat protein in the morning, and just was really consistent with it, then yeah, there were times when I was hungry, but it wasn't like before with the crashing. It was like, oh my gosh, okay, I feel better. I have the energy. And if I lift during the day or do whatever during the day, I'm not completely exhausted. I feel like it was just a lot more manageable, and it made sense to me to track everything that way. And it was just easy.
Are you still tracking now?
Yeah. So I was in a program, something completely unrelated. And the lady running the program was like, hey, you know, how many days have you tracked or whatever? And I didn't even know that it tracked that, but I'm up to like 290 days in a row or something ridiculous. That's where awesome. I've put something in, some kind of input in every day, because it's funny. It's like, because it's so easy, you just pick up your phone and scan the thing or just type in the thing for the food that you're going to eat. I always think about it, you know, maybe once, twice a day. And then right before I go to bed, I'm like, oh crap, I didn't put that in there. And it just helps put in perspective. And even when you gorge, even when you eat a little bit too much, you know, oh, I went to Arby's and got a burger. You type in Arby's burger and it has all the information in there. And then you don't feel terrible about yourself. You look at it and you're like, all right, that was 700 calories, but it also had a lot of protein. And now I know I got to eat a bunch of apples or whatever to balance it out. And you don't feel like crap. And then you find out that later on, you don't want that stuff. Like you do want good food. And every now and then you like to splurge. But like one of the things I found out was I used to be an ice cream junkie. And partially through this process and also not sleeping well at night, I realized like, I feel like crap when I eat ice cream and I don't crave it. It's not even about discipline. It's just you get into these habits and then you find yourself not craving the bad stuff.
Yeah, I think that's always a big aha moment for many people is when they realize, you know, I don't think people understand like how much they under eat protein. And the importance that it plays, and there's a big role that it plays in our diets, and how, you know, it is, you know, very satisfying. It's very, you know, it's takes a lot of work for your body to digest protein. So, it keeps you fuller longer. So I think, and that really does cut down on the cravings, and it does a really good job of equalizing your blood sugar so that when we do things like binge on, you know, ice cream or if it's baked goods or whatever, you do feel like crap because you've cleaned your system up a bunch. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I don't feel right. This is not good. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but you know, Chris and I are getting close to 50. What?
Shh, don't tell him.
He's got a birthday in a couple days.
So 48.
48. I don't know about you, but as my 40s have moved along, I've really found that I have my 20s. I could care less what I ate, really, honestly. I didn't really pay attention to anything.
Yeah.
And it's not that I was doing it from a weight conscious standpoint. I just didn't care. I mean, whatever. Late in my late 20s is when it changed. But in my 30s, I started to notice a little bit different. But my 40s, man, it's been a different story where I really am in tune more days now with like how my body reacts to food. And you know, the amount of food that I need to kind of like maintain healthy balance in terms of body composition. Have you noticed that at all happen for you?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, without a doubt, and it's the same cycle that you mentioned, like 20s, whatever, didn't matter, get married, have some kids. And then all of a sudden you're 40 pounds heavier, 50 pounds heavier than you're supposed to be. And you're waking up at night with, you know, choking or having issues with acid reflux, things like that. And then you finally realize like, okay, it's time to pay this bill. And then, yeah, through this process, it is like, I actually think about what I'm going to eat, but not as a, I don't know how to explain this, not as a, like I'm being down on myself. Like I feel like most diets, it's like, oh crap, I did this. I was supposed to do this. This is so free form that there's a big difference between not doing something because you feel like it's wrong and you're going to get slapped on the wrist versus wanting to do the right thing because you know the positive outcome and you know that you'll feel better later on, you'll sleep better, all that crap. So yeah, absolutely. This, I've noticed the same thing where I end up craving the stuff. Like my wife, who has always eaten healthy, you know, she's a dance teacher. She's been a dance teacher all her life. She is, you know, this past year, she's like, who is this guy? And, you know, like she texted me a minute ago. She's out with the kids and she's like, hey, I'm going to be naughty today. Pick up some food. What do you want? I'm like, no, I just had a big ass protein shake when I reverse engineered the exact formula. I was like some protein shake that I liked. And I know I asked you about it and uploaded into the system. And It's just a different conversation because normally I'd be like, yeah, number six with a chocolate shake and double up on it.
Make that thing huge, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an awesome, that's such a powerful moment. You know, the thing that I think the phrase that we as coaches and trainers talk about, going back to like what you were talking about, you know, you're making a deliberate choice when you're eating, that you're kind of planning it out. It's eating with intention, right? Eating with purpose. You're not, you're kind of planning out your day. You're having an understanding of, you know, that food has a purpose to it. And it's not just to make us feel good. And unfortunately, I think we get into a place, you know, food is love for a lot of us, right? Because food is love. And that's how, you know, maybe our parents showed it, maybe significant others showed it. And so we kind of wrap up an emotion in food, but when you kind of like strip the emotion away and you strip the, it makes me feel good feeling, and kind of just break it down to this tastes good, I enjoy it, and I feel in my body the right way, that's kind of eating with intention versus just kind of like throwing, you know, crap on the wall to see what sticks. And so that for me, if I had to think of like some of the biggest wins that I've watched, you know, for the, over the past year with you, it's been that, is that, you know, you really have, you know, purposefully chosen the things, you know, and I think that's been pretty cool for me as a, you know, as your friend and as a coach, to kind of say, he gets it. Look at that.
Well,
answer me this. Was it really that hard?
No, but that's why it worked. And, and that's what I, you know, whether or not it's your job or your side hustle or you taking care of yourself, the easier you can make it, the more convenient, the more likely somebody's going to do it, usually the better successful outcome. Because if you make it easy and accessible, then the greatest thing happens. And that was where people learn on their own and they realize it on their own. Like maybe there are some people that need to be screamed at all the time, but I don't think that breeds longevity. I think that that's, you know, like you said, a short-term effect to try to shock the system. Maybe some people, I don't want to speak for everyone, but yeah, I mean, when you talk about food as a reward or food as comfort, there are a lot of folks out there that I think grow up in that environment where, I mean, like your mom was a great cook. I remember Sunday breakfast was amazing. And that was a reward for going to church. Yay.
Right.
And you know, my background, I didn't have the greatest childhood. And so one of the things I did was self-medicate with food. I remember specific instances of going through some trauma and eating as much as I could to get rid of it, to blank it out. And, you know, you keep that as a defense mechanism and even into adulthood and later on, and then you find yourself going to it and you're like, no, you know, I'm going to eat what I'm supposed to eat. And then I'm going to go shoot some hoops or I'm going to go do something that makes me feel better physically. But it is kind of like rewiring the brain through this process. But for me, like, I hope people understand that you saw how this had to happen for me, because you know, I'm ADHD to the max and you know that I'm stubborn. So you couldn't send me a bullet point program of this is exactly what you need to do, dummy, because I would just follow it for 2 days and throw it out. But instead you gave me a blueprint and gave me something to follow. And from that, I mean, how excited am I to, I'll send you pictures of what I'm making for breakfast because you told me about the Kodiak mix.
I'm like, I love that.
No. Yo, man, I mixed in this with it and I put an egg on it. Like nobody's ever done that before.
But it makes you happy and that's awesome. And it does what its job is. And that's even better.
Yeah. And you don't feel like crap after you eat it. And it's really good. Like I got it perfected to the point where my wife and kids actually like prefer the healthy pancakes over the crap ones,
yeah,
or over the frozen waffles or whatever. So is it more work in the morning? Maybe a little bit, but God, it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a little bit more work, but you're right. It is 100% worth it. So this is always a concern for many people, right? And this is something that a lot of people say they struggle with is, I don't have the time to X, right? And especially when it comes to their health and fitness. Did you find that this was very time consuming for you?
No. And just once again, you know, I have to start with, I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm sure, I believe everyone has a different method to how they get things done. For me, the combination of the pandemic being forced to work from home, and me being, you know, someone who doesn't, I don't just focus on one thing for 2 hours and then, you know, and then I'm done. For me, it was great because I would literally, you know, I'd spend an hour or two solving problems, working with clients, and then I'd go use the suspension training that you showed me, or, you know, do some exercise and go take a walk, whatever it was, and then come back. So I would literally find myself, instead of following one regimented 45-minute workout, I would just use the app, plug in, I'm going to do this now, and then later on, I'm going to do another thing, and then later on, I'm going to do another thing. And it worked better for me that way because it kept it really flexible. And then days when I couldn't work out because I was too busy with work, I didn't feel like crap, you know, because I could throw in a workout at night, or, you know, for me, it just worked better kind of during the day and being from home.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That's powerful, man. I think the it's very cool to hear that you managed to, you know, that you were adaptable, that you didn't look at your day and say, well, I don't have the time. Instead, you found a way to fit in little snippets of it throughout your day, whether it be movement or walking or, you know, increased activity, you know, being purposeful with, you know, what your nutrition was. I think that speaks volumes. You didn't let the day dictate to you. You kind of dictated your day, which is great.
Yeah. And, you know, it's when you have that mindset, like I do with the ADHD and everything, you fight it. You know, because you continually tell yourself, no, this is what it has to be. Everyone goes to the gym for an hour. Everyone does this. And then, you know, in my late 30s, when I finally actually went to the doctor and was like, look, everyone's told me that I have this thing. So, and then they diagnosed it. And then of course my wonderful Uncle Tommy was like, oh yeah, one of the great mysteries of the 21st century has been solved, because everyone knew that. And I've learned to not fight it. I've learned that even being adult ADHD, you can get more done. Sometimes it's just, you have to do it a certain way. Like I'll work from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Not necessarily nonstop, but I find myself through this program and through realizing, taking advantage of the flexibility, I'm better for my clients.
Sure.
Like I literally have more energy and more, I'm sharper, you know, things like that. And, you know, I'm speaking from a 40 plus year history of not really feeling that way.
That's awesome. So some data, right? Let's pull up some data here for you. I'm a data point guy. I like my data, stand by. And do you remember, and I think this is the kudos part, but we got to give Mr. Genevieve some kudos here. Do you remember where you started weight-wise? Do you remember what it was? I mean, if you don't worry.
After losing some weight, it was like 210 to 215, 210, 215 pounds is what I originally had as the data input. But the heaviest I ever was like 237. That was many years ago. But this process, I would say 215, 210, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I've got, yeah. Well, I think when you started, right before you started with me, it was a little bit lighter than that. But over the course of,
because the surgery forced the weight loss a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. So the surgery forced your weight loss. That's right. So basically it was right around November 15th. It's kind of when you kind of kick things off is what it looks like here. And then all the way till, you know, like by the time you hit the 1st of March, you basically lost 12 pounds by the 1st of March.
Real pounds. Like it was,
yeah. Here's the cool part is that you've kept that off, right? And then you've actually even dropped it down even further. So total, right? I think you're almost down 15 pounds total since we got started.
Yeah. And I would say, like, I went in on my chart thing and kind of went back in time to like September. And I had it even higher than that because I know pre-surgery it was higher. I just didn't track the data officially.
Right.
But what impresses me about all of this is that through the program, I'm maintaining it. I've never maintained a healthy weight ever. It's always been in spurts. It's like seasonal. And now it's like
lean season. It's the not so lean season.
And it's crazy because if somebody's like, how much do you weigh? I'm like, about $180, but somewhere between $180 and $185. And I'm not lying. It's real. Like even the doctor was like, oh, because, you know, you go to the doctor's office and it's always like 5 pounds heavier, and I was still in the 180s.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-huh, call my boy Drew up.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That is, I think, again, you know, if I look back on the really cool parts about, you know, the habits you created, the aha moments you created, but then just the way you've been consistent and stayed with it, and it's not changed. And now here we are, August 2nd, and, you know, you're doing awesome. You know, you've created the behavior change that needed to happen, and now they're kind of ingrained and they're not really going to go anywhere, I hope.
Yeah, I find, like, when I get off track or something like that, which I have done, I find myself naturally almost like a pendulum. It just goes back to wanting to manage it, feeling better. You know, all the side effects that kick in when you eat things you're not supposed to eat at the level you're not supposed to eat them. All of that stuff is a powerful influence once you actually eat right. And you go back to it and say, what?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you find that powerful for you, knowing that you have the control, right? That you can control it?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had that before. I mean, one of the ways that people deal with trauma or deal with change in their life, anything like that, is controlling food, but controlling it the wrong way. Like, I'm just going to stuff myself what I want, how I want. And this is kind of the opposite. You're not keeping anything from yourself. You're actually making it better by eating the right stuff. And, you know, then you have like a 2 soda rule a day, like 2 diet sodas. And I just kind of wait until later when I feel like it, or if I need some energy or a little bit of caffeine. And then it just tastes so much better. You know, I remember, I'm sure you probably did this. You remember in your 20s when you'd get up in the morning and just crack open a soda first thing?
Oh,
like, it's terrible for you. You got to have water when you get up just to do it.
I was going to tell the story of, like, you know, before I got into the world of fitness, I worked in restaurants for, you know, particularly in the pizza business for a long time.
Oh yeah.
But there was a point, on any given day, I was drinking 12 regular sodas a day.
Just think about the sugar content on that.
Ungodly amount of sugar, right? And so,
yeah.
And you know, for me, because my work days were usually nights, right? So I'd usually work until midnight or 1 a.m. And then, you know, I'd be up until 2 or 3 because you're wired, whatever. And so my day would usually start around 10 a.m. the next day. And the first thing I'd do as I walked into the store would be, there was no such thing as a Diet Coke. That didn't happen in my world. No. So, that's just kind of what we did. And maybe no common sense whatsoever. None. But
yeah. And they didn't have these tools back then. And that's what I try to tell people is, like, you know, take advantage of this, take advantage of the fact that there are these tools, and just keep it simple. And that's what this does. You know, you're not paying a whole bunch of money for a subscription or this, that, and the other. You're actually, you know, paying for experience and for advice and for, like, another human being to read the signals and kind of know what to offer you. And that's what worked for me. Like, I've said this a million times to people, said, you know, it's not just that it works. It's that you're not in a system where you're just going to get barked at. I think that the majority of people, that just doesn't work in the long run. And that's what's worked here, is you come to your own conclusions with all of this, and it's incredibly valuable.
That's awesome, man. Well, I always like to kind of do a couple of fun things here. I appreciate, you know, you coming on and talking about, you know, your story a little bit and kind of giving everybody a little glimpse into how it is. And because I just think it's important for people to hear. Just stories. I like to tell stories. But let's have a little fun. How about describe to me what you're like when you're hangry?
Oh, wow. So let me throw out a qualifier there. Are you referring to hangry, like, during this process of reevaluating how I eat?
Do you have different levels? I'd like to hear the different levels, maybe. Well,
hangry when I was really unhealthy versus hangry now is what I guess. Which one do you want, or do you want both of them?
Oh, give me both. I want to hear both, because I think that's a good telltale sign for people.
Yeah. So back before I started monitoring my health, really, and getting into better shape, I never really allowed myself to get hangry. I feel like it was like a, you know, somebody who's addicted to any substance. And I treat that with a lot of respect, and I take it very seriously that, you know, you try to reach a little bit higher and then you relapse a little bit higher. And the next thing you know, you're at the point where you're just stuffing yourself to try to get back to that, I just feel okay feeling. So it was a constant cycle of what can I eat next to make me feel better? But now when I get hangry, I got to eat something. Like I get to the point where I'm like, I'm craving something, but I know that it can't be crap. Like I'm, you know, give me a big burger, give me something with protein, some chicken. Like chicken's the best thing ever for hangriness. But yeah, when I get hangry, it's, my wife will tell you, just stay out of his way. He's stubborn, and feed him. And then 5 minutes later, I'm fine. Seriously.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What about you when you're hangry?
So hangry for me is, I get really short and impatient, and that, which is complete opposite of me. And yeah. So again,
our wives could tell the stories.
Chrissy will always look at me if I'm, you know, my temper's, and I don't have a temper. I don't want to use.
Yeah, you really don't have a temper.
I don't have a temper, but like if I'm just kind of short fused and I'm not really responding well to things, she'll look at me and she'll go, "Do you need something to eat?" And I'm like, "When was the last time I ate?" And usually I'm pretty good. Like I've got a pretty regimented schedule when I eat, but you know, some days they're just those days that happen. We're all human. And yeah, I'm like, oh crap, I haven't eaten in like 6 hours. I probably should probably do something about that. Yeah. So usually it's when my fuse gets short. And then if it gets really bad, then I just kind of get really kind of like into a total, like, you know, downshift.
Exactly. Jelly. Yeah.
So, but that's about it. All right. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time, man. I appreciate it. This was awesome. And, I think, you know, it's cool for everybody to hear, and I'm glad that you're still rocking it, kicking butt with it all. And, you know, I'm here for you always, you know that, and I hope to God we'll keep it rolling.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It is life-changing. It's helped out a lot, and, you know, like with anything, it requires work, but it just makes so much sense. So, you know, I would highly recommend it to anyone, especially if you feel like you're ADHD or if you just haven't found the right thing. Like this, like you said, it's not a magic pill, it's not a magic bullet, but it's a process that just made sense from day one, and slowly but surely got to the point where, you know, every day doesn't feel like a crap fest of eating the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
No, and I appreciate it, man.
Cool. All right, brother, but we'll catch up soon.